Welcome to the Raised with Jesus podcast, 10 minutes almost every day where the life of Jesus meets yours. Today we're finishing up our daily Bible reading from 1 Corinthians chapter 7, our daily Bible reading for June 25th, 2019, beginning in verse 25. Now concerning virgins, I have no command from the Lord, but I give my judgment as one whom the Lord in his mercy made worthy of trust. Accordingly, I think this is good, because of the difficult situation we face, namely, that it is good for a person to remain as he is. Are you bound to a wife? Do not seek to be freed. Are you unattached? Do not seek a wife. But if you do get married, you have not sinned. And if a virgin gets married, she has not sinned. Yet such people will be under pressure in their earthly lives, and I am trying to spare you. I also say this, brothers, the time is short. From now on, let those who have wives live as if they had none, those who weep as if not weeping, those who rejoice as if not rejoicing, those who buy as if not possessing, and those who use the world as if not getting any use out of it. For the way of life that belongs to this world is passing away. I would like you to be free from concern. The unmarried man is concerned about the things of the Lord and thinks about how to please the Lord. But the married man is concerned about the things of the world and thinks about how to please his wife, and so he is divided. The unmarried woman and the virgin are concerned about the things of the Lord, so as to be holy both in body and in spirit. But the married woman is concerned about the things of the world and thinks about how to please her husband. I am saying this for your own benefit, not to impose a restriction, but to encourage honorable, undistracted devotion to the Lord. But if someone thinks he is behaving inappropriately toward his virgin, if his feelings are strong and it seems necessary, he should do what he desires. It is not a sin they should marry. But if someone stands firm in his heart and is not driven by need, but has control over his own desire and has decided in his own heart to keep his virgin as she is, he does well. So then he who marries his virgin does well, and he who does not marry her does better. A wife is bound to her husband for as long as he lives, but if the husband has died, she is free to be married to any man she wishes, only in the Lord. But she is more blessed if she stays as she is, in my judgment, and I think that I, too, have God's Spirit. This is the word of our God. As you may have guessed, this portion is one of the more difficult sections in the entire book of 1 Corinthians, and indeed a slightly more difficult or challenging portion out of all of Paul's letters. It's not for no reason that toward the end of 2 Peter, Peter makes the comment that Paul has some things that are difficult to understand, and he writes the same way in all of his letters, and we would do well to pay attention to them. And anyway, so here at the end of 1 Corinthians chapter 7, when he's writing, there's obviously a little bit of context that we don't have. But one of the things that he keeps coming back to is the theme that he kind of summarized in verse 35. And he kind of uses this as one of the main ideas of this entire chapter, especially the latter portion of this chapter, verse 35. I am saying this for your own benefit, not to impose a restriction, but to encourage honorable, undistracted devotion to the Lord. And so this part, and especially this portion of the chapter, would be helpful to keep in context. First of all, I'll deal with that part at the end of chapter 7 here, beginning in verse 36 or so, when he talks about how one is to behave toward the virgin in his life. We don't know what he's talking about there. We don't know the exact circumstances, and obviously he's writing to something pretty specific, but there are a couple different interpretations that have been offered, whether like a father talking about his daughter and giving her away in marriage, or somebody who is engaged and or promised in marriage, and the marriage is still a few years out, but we don't know exactly what is being talked about here. But in context of the entire chapter, we have to keep in mind what Paul is talking about. That chapter 6 talked about the disregard for the body that led to adultery, led to all sorts of other sexual behaviors, including prostitution and the use of prostitution. And in the setting in the background is the Corinthians being proud about their sexual liberalism, in being proud of the man who is sleeping with his stepmother. And so there's the reaction of asceticism, which was probably, you know, probably took hold even among the married people. They were conducting these ascetic experiments, thinking, well, you know, in reaction to this liberalism of sexual ethics, they kind of go the other way and say, well, you know, this new catchword, it's good for a man not to touch a woman. And so these married people were disregarding their marriages even. Some were considering divorces from their spouse, especially pagan spouses, as a way toward a fuller religious life. The unmarried and the widows were being made uncertain regarding their right to marry or remarry. And so Paul answers this all fully and as clearly as he can. And so he says all the way back in verse 23 that Christ has bought people with a price. Verse 23 reads like this. You are bought at a price. Do not become slaves of men. And that being bought at a price is one of the main ideas that we have in this section. And being bought at a price means that we want to honor God with our bodies and that we want to be devoted to the Lord who was devoted to us. That's kind of the main kernel, the main truth that we hang on to. And so their life within every element of this world, whether marriage or slavery, or whatever position in life he talks about here, it has a provisional, like next to the last character, because the life that you have in this world here isn't how things will be forever, but it's eventually this world is passing away, and the next world, the eternal life that we have with Jesus in heaven, will take its place. And so in our reading today, Paul encourages us to hold on loosely to the things of this world, you know, verses 29 through 31. I also say this, brothers, the time is short. From now on, let those who have wives live as if they have none, those who weep as if not, those who rejoice as if not, those who buy as if not possessing, those who use the world as if not getting any use out of it. Because the way of life that belongs to this world is passing away. And so what he's really saying is that, you know, there's more to life than what we have here. And the Christian isn't pulled around by the possessions of this world and doesn't have his or her life ruled by the things that belong only to this world. It's kind of the same idea that he had back in chapter 6, that I will not be ruled by anything, nor do I want anything bossing me around, because there's an eternity after this. Moreover, if this world has a temporary character, you know, if this world is only around until Jesus returns and then we enter eternity, this world has kind of a setup. The life we have here is in preparation for the life that is to come. And so we live our lives here in a way that is in service to the Lord, in kind of preparation for the eventual service that we will render to the Lord for all eternity in the joys of heaven. And so we don't want to choose for ourselves any particular path, feeling that we're under a certain obligation. We don't want to live in a certain way that would open the doorway and open the floodgates of temptation that we would not be equal to, and that we would plunge into sin. Because Paul says, you know, you are not your own, you are bought at a price, therefore honor the Lord with your body. And so when he's talking about that, he's really saying, dear friend, as you consider your married life, as you consider whether to get married, as you consider how you live, remember that you're not your own. Remember that there is more to life than what we have right here. And so in this world, you are not pulled and pushed and dragged left and right and up and down by your emotions. But you ought to think about life soberly with an understanding of the Lord and what he has in mind for you for eternity. Now, don't think that you have to be married or you have to be not married. You have to think about your life and your service to the Lord in context of who you are. if, you know, Paul talks about his own gift of celibacy, where he was really able to live a celibate life, you know, as an unmarried man, because obviously sexual relationships only happen within the bounds of marriage between one man and one woman, publicly devoted to each other for life. And so Paul lived his entire life without being married and without any sexual activity. And that was his particular gift. And in his case, it worked out that he was able to spend that extra time and attention rather than thinking about his wife and his family on one hand, and then the ministry of the Lord on the other hand. He was able to be devoted completely to the ministry of the Lord, and the Lord worked through that. But he's not holding that out as the ideal, and he's not holding that out as binding for everyone, because he says, well, each has his own gift, and you need to think of who you are and where you are. And the question isn't, what should I do? The question first and foremost is, who am I and what has the Lord done for me? And what is the Lord given to me today, and how is he preparing me for heaven tomorrow? And so it really comes down to a very practical question of, how can I honor the Lord where I am today? Because this world, I'm not here to simply grab whatever and gather whatever pleasure and riches that I can out of this world. I am here to think about my life with sober judgment, looking ahead to the eternity that Jesus has prepared for me. So as you go about your day, take a moment and just consider the timeline of eternity from, you know, if it stretches all the way across a piece of paper, the timeline of eternity of forever, of the time that we have in heaven, including, you know, the time that we have in heaven. Let's just go with that. And way at the left-hand side, on this timeline that stretches across an entire piece of paper, is the tiniest little dot, tiniest little blip that represents your life here on earth. Maybe 60, 70, 80, 90 years, maybe only 30 or 40. But compared to eternity, I don't care if you live to be 500 years on earth. You know, even the hymn writer talks about, when we've been there 10,000 years bright, shining as the sun, we have no less days to sing God's praise than when we had first begun. That God is preparing you for something bigger, and that something bigger is heaven. And that God wants you to have that in mind as you go about your day, as you make your choices, and as you serve the Lord in whatever area of life that he has given to you, whether married or unmarried, previously married. Your primary devotion is to the Lord, and then your secondary devotion is to the Lord by serving others. You can find us Sundays 9 a.m. at 2250 South Holland Savannah Road in Maumee. Also Wednesday nights at 7 p.m., same place. Not the same time, obviously, it's 7 p.m. Could also follow us on Facebook. Just search for Resurrection Maumee. God bless your day.